You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. Baby boy, it's your girl. You know the TikTok star, Lauren Ashley Beck. I'm about to hit the whoa right now. I just wanted to say I miss chatting Love After Lockup with you, baby boy. But you know what? In the meantime, I'm going to be rocking with the purple pants posse and listening to whatever you got. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants.
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I'm so excited that you clicked that button to listen to this episode. Welcome. How's everybody doing? Welcome to all my first time listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What took you so long? And to my Purple Pants posse, what's up? We've got a really great episode for everyone this week. I'm truly proud of this episode. It really means a lot to me. Before I even go into all of that, last week's episode, Let's Get Fiscal with Justin Sullivan, I loved. And if you have not checked it out, baby, go back and run that episode back and let's get fiscal and get into it. But this week's episode, I'm really excited. It really touches my heart in a number of different ways. And I'm really proud of this episode. I'm really proud of this platform that I have built, of a space of inclusion, a space of love, a space of positivity, a space of ratchetness, a space of spicy, bricey, just a space that I truly can let my hair down and be myself. And I'm so grateful that you guys have come on this road trip with me, because that's basically what it is. It's really like a road trip of my life. And just listening back to old episodes and listening to episodes that I'm currently recording, I'm just really proud and I'm grateful. So I just wanted to take this time to say thank you for everybody that's been there with me. But what's been going on? I don't know about y'all, but in Philly, it was 82 degrees on Saturday. And I wanted to slide into my two-piece bathing suit, but baby, the belly was hanging over. So I had to, you know, put the two-piece back and put the two-piece and biscuit down and, you know, drink some water because, you know, it's going to be a hot boy summer and I got to get ready. And getting ready for the summer, I actually took the Pfizer vaccination this week and I was really excited about it. And I just want to share with you my experience. So as you know, I'm a social worker. And in my opinion, I'm an essential worker. The population that I work with is the elderly, 65 and above, the most at risk. And the company that I'm working for, they are really pushing for us to get back into the community. And it's really been upsetting to me that my job is really like, we got to get back. Like kind of forcing us to get back into the homes of the community. And we had a town hall meeting with our director and CEO of the company. And, you know, during the town hall meeting, you know me, I had to come off mute and chat. And I'm saying, like, I feel that it is important for us to go out in the community and to ensure the well-being of our participants. But in order to do that, don't you guys feel as a company you should be providing us with vaccinations or ensuring that we are vaccinated before you're putting us at risk and even more putting the population that we serve at risk? And the answer to the us that they had was that they are working with our local government or state government to be able to get the vaccinations. So I'm like, okay, in my mind, I'm like, well, how you want us to go out into this community and see these people? But it's really about the dollar signs. They really, but anyway, that's another story for another day. So I've been on this search to get vaccinated because I really want to get vaccinated. I haven't really spent any time, meaningful time with my mom in over a year. And I, you know, for me personally, I want, you know, Barb's message. I want to be around my mom. And so there haven't been a lot of resources here in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia to get vaccinated. Now over at Temple University, my alma mater, TU, what's up? They had a open vaccination where they opened up the Leah Court Center to vaccinations, largely in with the Black Consortium doctors. Shout out to them because they've been really doing a great job to make sure that our Black and Brown people are getting vaccinated. But they do this like open call where it's literally like a cattle call. And you, when they first opened it up, people were in line for 5 hours. And excuse me, I ain't waiting in no line for 5 hours to get on vaccination. Like, I want the vaccination, but baby boy wasn't doing that. And it was really getting frustrated because, in all purposes, like, I am an essential worker and it is important for me to get vaccinated to help serve the communities that I serve. And so it was really frustrating. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna just have to just wait until, you know, the time comes. I've been on several email lists, stating that I'm an essential worker. And, you know, they said, oh, when the vaccination comes available, we'll email you. But over last week, I got a phone call from my girlfriend in California, and she was telling me that she got the vaccination. And I'm like, well, girl, how did you get it? Because it's so hard. And I'm going to share with y'all the tea that I got. Now, depending on what state and where you're at, and when you are eligible to get it. But listen, the plug for me, again, I can't say enough. I'm an essential worker in the sense that I'm a social worker and I have to ensure the safety and well-being of our senior citizen population. So I got the tea that Walgreens has the vaccine. And you literally can go to your Apple store, your Google playlist, download the Walgreens app, register as a Walgreens user. And you can click get vaccinated and you click get vaccinated. You answer a couple of questions. And if you're in the realm that you're able to get it, you can proceed to scheduling to get your vaccination. And when I tell you, it was literally took me 3 minutes. Now, the recommendation that I give to y'all is they are scheduling only 2 days out. So get up early one morning, like 6, 7 o'clock, get on that Walgreens app and register. And literally I registered on Wednesday. I got my vaccination appointment for the next day. Now, the caveat to that is you don't get to choose the Walgreens that you go to. So there are Walgreens around the corner from my house. The Walgreens that they took me to was in Center City, which was not a problem. I will gladly drive 20 minutes to Center City as opposed to waiting outside in whatever the conditions are outside the Leah Court Center. And so for me, it was really a pleasant experience. I went to the Walgreens, told my appointment. It was only me and another person in the waiting room. The nurse practitioner came out, answered a couple questions. They gave baby boy that Pfizer and I waited 15 minutes and I was good to go. I went home. I still had to go to work. I little sick time real quick, little couple hours right there. Went back. I felt great. The next morning I woke up, my arm was sore and I didn't really have any adverse effects. And that was my experience. And what I love about the Walgreens app is that when I made my first appointment, they automatically put me in for my second appointment. So I know the date and time that I'm going to get my second appointment. Now I have read and I've been listening and watching a lot of other people. They've said the second shot might put your baby boy down. So in a month, I will come back and report to you how I'm feeling. But I'm really excited that I was able to get part one of the vaccination, doing my part. I'm still wearing my mask. I'm still socially distanced. But for me, it's really exciting that in a month times, I'll be able to like spend the night at my mom's house and really be able to kind of just and cherish my mom and cherish loved ones that I have not been around in a while. And it would be perfect time for my mom's birthday. Her birthday's in May, and so by that time I should be fully vaccinated. So I'm excited. So I just wanted to, you know, bring the posse the news that I got and, you know, just keeping you updated. But back to this episode, live in your truth. I am so proud and so excited, and I really hope that when you guys listen to this episode that you get something from it, because baby, when I tell you the spirit was moving, whoo, the spirit was moving. So the rundown for this week's episode is I got two church announcements for you, boom boom, and then this is a casualty episode, so we welcome back the boy Amon Aldwin, and we talk about spring break 2021. We talk about Senator Brian Kemp and this overhaul of voter laws that he just passed in Georgia. We talk about the rapper Waka Flocka and his wife Tammy Roman dealing with her daughter coming out. And, you know, that conversation really led into a really honest, vulnerable, open conversation that Ahmad and I had about what it is being a black gay man and the traumas and the things that we have to overcome to just live in our own truth. And it's really important that you guys listen to that, because baby boy was shedding some tears listening back to that. And we also touch on Lil Nas X. Then we've got advice with Bryce and Freak of the Week. So listen, buckle up, put your seatbelts on, open your heart, and live in your truth. Let's get into these church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
And on this week's church announcements, I really wanted to just take this time to share this story that happened to me last week, and it really inspired the title of this podcast, which is Living Your Truth. And for a while now on the podcast, I've been, you know, sharing my truth with you guys and telling you, you know, I'm a gay black man, and that's my truth that I stand in. And I oftentimes share with you that, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm in my early to late 20s to, you know, mid 30s, you know, baby boy is 35. And I shared with you guys on previous podcasts my struggle with, like, accepting my age. It's not that, like, you know, baby boy don't think you look good, because I know I'm look delicious. But, you know, me growing up as a young black gay man in Philadelphia, I didn't really see much positive imageries, role models in my life of specifically what a gay black man in 30 looked like. You know, the AIDS epidemic really kind of ravaged through our city. It did not leave me with what being a gay black man at 30 looked like. Didn't give me positive imageries. It didn't really, like, I didn't have someone to talk to in different situations. And so I'm very open about that and why I stand in my truth, because I want to be a beacon of light to someone. I want to live authentically in my truth and be myself. And over last week, my first job out of college, I had met a coworker, and we were kikiing, like, you know, just really fun. We stayed in contact, and this coworker had at the time, a young son. And, you know, I've been, Bryce loved kids, and I've been involved in his life ever since I met his mom. And so, you know, family functions, you know, they would invite me to holidays, you know, birthdays, I would go and I would attend. And, like, you know, I took a special liking to her son. You know, we had a connection. And I just, you know, just always just show love. You know how I am. Uncle Bryce loved kids. And so her son now is in his first year of college, and he actually was home for the spring break. And I happened to see my friend. I went over to her house and I saw her son. We said, hey, how you doing? Like, you know, just, hey, well, how you doing? Look at you. Look at all grown. Like, you know, all of that. And so later in that day, her son texts me and said, hey, do you mind if I give you a call later? And I'm like, of course, you know, my phone is always open to you. And we called me. We had a great conversation, asked him how school was. And he came out to me. And I was not expecting it. I mean, had I suspected, yes. But, you know, I know that it would never be in my place to ask someone that, because I know that that's their truth and it's their time. If they want to come out, it's for them. You can only just be yourself. And so this young man really just shared with me that, you know, what he was struggling in and how he felt. And I was able to share with him. I had those exact same experiences, and I was just able to shed light and to shed my experiences. And in thinking about it after, you know, we hung up, I got emotional and I started crying, because I really, like, like I thought about the magnitude that, like, what he must be going through, and the fact that he felt as though he couldn't talk to anyone. And then he said, when he saw me that day, it all clicked. And he was like, I know Bryce would know what it's like. And I wanted to reach out to him. And it just made me think of during that time, they were like, you know, I knew of other LGBTQ people, but I never would have felt comfortable coming out to them and just accepting it. And the fact that he felt so comfortable, he felt like, you know, it just really meant a lot. And for me, it was like a full circle moment, in the sense of, here I am talking about the role models that I did not have and why I live in my truth. And here me living, and me living in my truth and being myself had inspired this young man to want to come out to me, to want to build that connection, to want to, like, use me as a resource. And it really touched my heart, Purple Pants Posse, because it was like what I did not have. And, you know, growing up being a gay black man, and to know that what I did not have, I could be for somebody else. I can't tell you what that means to me. And live in your truth is really what I want this church announcement to be, is live in your truth, whatever that is. Don't be scared. There will be obstacles no matter what, but live in your truth. And you just never know what living in your truth could do for someone. You never know what barriers you could be breaking. You may not see it, but baby, believe, they are seeing and watching you. And I just want to leave the church announcement on that, is living your truth. And we got one more church announcement for you.
Hey, Purple Pants Posse. This is Jatia Hart from Survivor Cayenne on your church announcements. Wanted to say that we are still recruiting for the Easter pageant. We are looking for the perfect sweet baby Jesus. So if you think you can fill that role, let me know. And also, don't forget to watch STEM Queens on youtube.com/JatiaPhD. Episode 2 features Tasha Fox and me talking about The Bachelor, bling, and how we are being the best. Praise the Lord, and have a great week, Purple Pants Posse.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. It's a casual tea.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. Hey, we back with the casual tea. Let me get out my big Frida voice, okay? Listen, we back with the casual tea. It's the baby boy. Now, I didn't really clear my voice, so you might be able to take me this week of mine, but it's the casual tea. Ooh. Go ahead. Have your time.
The cat. Ooh.
Yes. Yes. We're leaving it at that because I got it. It's the casual team with Amon and B.
Damn it. Yes. I wasn't prepared this morning.
The podcast gods are finally smiling on me and my voice. Anyway.
That's all right. Back. That's what I get for showing off.
Yes. All the time. All the time. But I'm so excited to have you back, Amon, for the casual tea. I feel like, you know, the world continues to deliver us goodness. And who are we to deprive the posse and not talk about things that we see going on? Now, this week, it was a lot, but also not a lot of stuff going on. I think there was, like, a lot of stuff going on in the social circles and, like, the TV shows that I personally watch. That I maybe not like talk about on the podcast, but nevertheless, I still think it is a lot going on. So I'm excited to dive into the casual tea with you. But before we get into all of that, how you doing? How's everything?
Everything is great. I am loving this weather that we had this past week. Ooh. We had some sunshine and some warm weather in Philly. It was like 81 degrees the other day. I was living my life, man. I loved it so much. There were so many people out and about. Please still wear your masks and all that. But I was enjoying this lovely spring that we are getting, man. I just cannot wait for people to get vaccinated so that we can actually have like some bit of normalcy in this spring and this summer. I'm excited.
Yes. I was so excited as well. And I was like telling a couple of my friends this, that I always, you know, I focus on like, you know, my seasonal affective disorder. And I'm like, oh my God, from November till March, we're in like darkness. And then I was like doing the math the other day in my head. I'm like, well, it's really only 4 months of that. And the rest of the months were on like spring forward. And so I really have tried to make a conscious effort since we've sprung the clocks forward to be like, in your mind, bitch, just think like it's the summer. Think like treat this time like the summer, because you know when the summer comes, it's always like, oh my God, it's so short. But I'm like, you know what?
Let me
treat this good weather, the sunlight. Let me just get my mind in that state of it's the summer. Like this is the summertime. Like this is the good weather that we should enjoy, whether it's 90 degrees or whether it's 55 degrees, whether it's 75. Enjoy it. So I've really been trying to take that in. And yes, Philly was showing out this weekend.
Yeah, as long as that sun is out, like, I don't even need it to be, like, sweltering hot. I just love sunshine. It just, you know, lifts my mood. It lifts my spirits. Because I really, yeah, that seasonal, that sad shit, yeah, it will get you. I feel like for me, it doesn't really hit me until, like, around January, February. I feel like I'm able to make it through the fall and beginning of winter because of all the holidays, right? Like
right.
September's back to school season, then you got Halloween, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas and all that, New Year's. So I'm able to like sort of like ride the highs of the holiday season. But then once all that is over, yeah, it really like hits me like a ton of bricks. Like right mid-January into February into March, it's like, ugh, it's just bleak. I mean, my birthday's thrown in there, so I guess that's nice, but...
Right. But how many times during your birthday have you been like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, being a winter baby can really be like that sometimes, because, like, what do you do? I mean,
right.
you can do, like, the normal stuff for, like, you know, going out to dinner and stuff like that, but everybody always does that. Like, you can't, like, go to a beach or
right.
have, like, a nice social gathering outside somewhere, go to a park, because it's cold, so... Usually, like, we'll try to do, like, winter activities. Like, my sister and I are really trying to, one of these years, we're going to actually do a ski trip because we love skiing. So that
yes.
could be nice.
I love
it. But even then, it's, like, so much work to put it together because, you know, you got to get
lot.
Your, you know. Yeah.
And especially when you only got 2 hours of sunlight. Like, you know, who's got the energy to, like, plan all of that? Like, it's a lot. But I think, you know, we've got a full little menu on the casual tea. I was going to talk about one thing, but I think this conversation really leads to another topic on the casual tea. So we'll go a little bit out of order. But the first thing that I want to put up in our teacup and let brew in this hot water, because we're making this casual tea, is Spring Breakers. Okay.
Spring break forever.
Now we know. In this country, spring break
historically has been a really happy time for young people, for, you know, anybody really, but, you know, for our college and young adults, we, you know, we live for the spring break. You know, back in the day, we had MTV the spring break. We had the BET spring breaks. Like, that used to be, like, that was the pinnacle of spring breaks for me. Like, because I would be in high school, so I would just watch MTV's spring break, everybody on the beach, like, just jumping up and down and watching these artists. And so, like, yes, you know, but I guess the older that I got, I realized that it was like, oh my God, spring break is the spring break in your college break. You get like maybe 2 weeks, a week off. And a lot of college students will use their, not tax return money, they might, but their money from like the spring semester that I've been out of college so long, I forget what it is. But you know, when if say your tuition is $3,000 and you might take out a $4,000 loan, so you got that extra $1,000 and so you ready to live.
Yep. And I'm still paying it off to this day.
Oh, listen, me too. Me, you ain't never lie. Navi, Annette, Sally, Matt. Okay, listen. They all is still knocking.
Heavily on the door. Pounding on the door.
And mind you, my issue with... So, this is what... I'm all over the place, so feel free to rein me in. Here's my issue with Sally Mae. Okay, I understand you want your money, and that's good. I've been paying my student loans on time for, like, since she's been knocking at my door. But this is my issue, is I feel like Sally Mae is just so rude. So when I pay my student loan, right, you know, they take my payment and that's it. I don't get no thank you email. I don't get no whatever.
Yep.
Just take it. But the second after I pay my student loan bill, 3 days later, I'll get a friendly reminder. Your payment is due. Where is my payment due? I just paid you. Oh, you talk about next month.
The next one. They are making sure they will let the minute, excuse me, the first day of whatever month it is, they're like, yep, just so you know, we need that crap again. So just dig in them pockets, open your purse, and pay us. Well, it is please, it's so transactional.
You can't
it's
send me a
so
thank you. Like you like
nope.
I'm like, you just rude, Sally Mae, and I can't wait until I can't wait until you take my last penny, okay?
Sally Mae is literally like the little gross sister from the Proud Family with her hand out the whole time. Like
Proud Family, proud family. You and me will always be tight. Family every single day and night. Even when I start acting like a fool. You know I'm loving every single thing you do. You know that I can always be myself around you or anybody else. First of all,
you know there's no one I love as much as you.
Proud Family. That was my jam back in the day when Proud Family came on Penny Powell. But even more so because you know I love Destiny's Child. And back in the day before people were really fans of Solange, I was a fan of Solange. I had her first album, Solo Star. Okay, but anyway, I know the listeners are like, what's going on here? But yes,
you know they're bringing it back. They're bringing it back. It's going to be the prouder than ever, something like that. On Disney Plus, and I really hope that Solange
and the girls come back and re-record, give us
another song, please. Like they have to. You have to do it.
It would be disrespectful if not. But anyway, back to y'all spring breakers. Because listen, let me just also clarify that Bryce has left the building momentarily, and Spicy Brycey is on the mic. Okay. Ooh. Now listen, spring breakers. I know we've been trapped up, locked up in our house for a year. I know, because I've been in my house for a year. And baby, the COVID-19 pounds are real, okay? Because baby, this little tire I got around my belly from sitting up in the house, okay? It's real. And I know we want to get out. We want to, but listen. And I'm just speaking personally to my timeline that I subscribe to on my phone, on my social media, which is heavily filled with beautiful, melanated people. Some of them being my cousins, some of them being my friends, some of them people being I know. But y'all was showing y'all ass over there in Miami. I'm like, okay, I guess the pandemic just went on pause.
Yep.
For spring break. So much that the mayor of Miami put in a 7 p.m. curfew. Now, mind you, that curfew ain't do nothing, okay? Because them people was out on Collins Avenue. They was out on the beach twerking. They was out singing, hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. Like, I mean, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, what?
Totally
like,
shouldn't be laughing at this.
I mean, but it was just so much. And don't get me wrong, like, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because I get it. Trust me, I guess it. I want a Fat Willy's, Fat Tuesdays. I want a slushy drink. I want to be in a two-piece bikini,
a hurricane, like, whatever the hell you call that. Crap.
Yes, I want to be in a crowd of people just screaming and shaking my dairy on like I used to do. But bang bang, and y'all getting on the airplane, and y'all flying to like, whoo, it was a lot.
They were destroying. I mean, they were destroying property, right? Like they were. They started to riot a little bit, and they were busting out windows and breaking into restaurants and fighting in the streets and
running off, not paying their bills. Okay, yeah. And then, I don't know if you saw that video. Then the owners chased them down. They was having twerk contests that I wanted to be a part of. It was just a lot, but at the same time,
and
there
like
was,
no masks.
Yes, no mask. They listen, I think they thought the humidity in Florida was like killing the virus. And don't get me wrong, yes, we all out here getting our vaccines, and you know, it's we're trying to get back to where that is normal again. But baby, we not here. And then when I was
especially not in Florida, where they keep opening shit up every 5 minutes. Like, I feel like the pandemic, like, granted, yes, Florida is definitely a little, the demographics of Florida are different. They're more spread out. So there, I mean, in the cities, there's definitely, you know, still hot spots though. Like people are still catching COVID out there. So for y'all to all be congregating on the beach and twerking and rubbing your asses together
and
like,
drinking alcohol, lowering your inability, like just not caring, yep. It's just a lot. And then when I was looking back at, I was on like the CDC site, earlier this week and seeing like the cases of new transmissions in like Pennsylvania is on the rise. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Like, we just, that
I
was
feel like there
all
are people. I feel like there's people out here that are like are not getting the vaccine yet, or they got their vaccine scheduled, but they see all this stuff in the news about people getting vaccinated and how we're
and
like
I'm good.
Like, yeah, I'm good. Like I'm good. I go, well, you vaccinated? I don't got mine yet, but you probably, if you good, then I'm good. Like, and it's like, no, baby, that's not how it works. And you still can get you can still get COVID if you have the vaccine.
You can still get it with the
you
vaccine.
Still get it.
It's like we're not.
Are you gonna die? Are you gonna get major illness? Maybe not, but like you could still pass it on to somebody else that could. Like it's still COVID out here.
It's a lot. And trust me, I get it. Like I keep saying I get it because baby. Was I living vicariously through those stories of, like, my little cousins and my friends? Like, I definitely was.
It just reminded you of better times, didn't it? It was just like, man.
It really reminded me that, bitch, we've been in this for a year. Like,
a year!
Like, ooh.
A year.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Oh, my God.
It's really been a long time. So although I get the frustration, I get it. And like, you know, you just want to like let go. You just want to have a moment to yourself. But please keep holding.
But it's just like, think about, remember like last year when this started to first pop off.
Well, child, the problem was last year, they still had spring break last year.
Exactly.
So
Think about it. It was like famous last words. That kid that got on TV, he was like, man, like, I don't even care if I get the Rona. Like, it is what it is. Like, we only live once. And like a whole month later, the whole country had to just shut down because people were dying and they were putting bodies up in Mack trucks in NYC. Like, it got real, real, real fast. Like Cardi B told us, and then all of a sudden, so now you feel like you are at liberty to do the exact same thing that they did last year. Like, come on, guys! Like, I get it. Like, I wanted, like, I was just telling y'all, like, it was 81 degrees out here, and I just wanted to run through the streets naked.
Oh,
I just wanted to be free, but it's. You know, it's COVID.
That's against the law of Pennsylvania, but I mean, you know, I get what you're saying, baby boy. But yeah,
I was ready to go to jail. I just wanted to be free.
No. So it's a lot. And so I get it, but I just had to, you know, I just had to put that on, you know, the casual tee because, like, no, we're not at that point.
Not we're yet. Not. Like, we're riot not. When it's healthier to riot.
And, like, you know, for real, y'all doing that is really prolonging when I actually could do that. So it's like, it's not fair. But just remember, guys.
And also with like this new law that they done passed over in Florida. It's not good. Because like, I mean, they are allowed to just like, apparently they can just like, people are at liberty to shoot you or kill you. If you were involved in a riot, and it's at like their like jurisdiction to determine what a riot or what constitutes a riot. So you can literally just get shot because you're in the vicinity of a riot and get justified for like it's so like, well, y'all really want to be out here wilding out like that?
I thought that was always.
I don't think that any lies were just told just now.
I'm just trying to see what the new news was because
it's like, so what's the news?
So thought that was law.
So anyway, what's the bill?
Right. Okay. Right. So, but yeah, so that's the first thing on the casualty. The next thing on the casualty, child, let's take it back. Let's keep it down south and let's take it on over there to Miss Georgia. Okay. Which also is another state that, child, I guess the pandemic ain't real because Georgia just been doing their own thing for a long time. But really, importantly, I want to talk about the Georgia governor, Brian Kemp. He signs a controversy election overhaul.
I'm so tired of seeing his name. I'm so tired of his face.
He's been on the Purple Pants picks before in the sense when he tried to sue our good Atlanta mayor, Keisha Bottoms, for enforcing mask mandates, and you know, he tried to sue her because he made it so that the mandates were just mandates and Keisha could not enforce them. So they went through this long battle. So we already know what type vibes Governor Kemp is giving, but So they signed into law this like overhaul, and it's nearly 100 pages worth of changes, mostly Republican proposed ideas all combined together in this overhaul of absentee and early voting rules. And the headlines are that it adds a ID requirement for mail-in voting, replaces the signature matching process, it bans anyone from giving food or drink to voters waiting in line at polling places. It limits where absentee ballot drops boxes can go. It adds new powers to the state election board to intervene in county election management. It replaces the Secretary of State on that election board with someone elected by the General Assembly. Whew, that's a lot. The reaction has been intense by the Democrats, calling it the new Jim Crow 2.0. And tensions are high. One Democrat state representative, Park Cannon, was actually arrested last night. She opposed the bill and was knocking on the governor's door because he signed it in private. She says she was trying to witness it. She was released from jail, but charged with willful obstruction of law. And you know, a Republican representative earlier in the day said this was the most decisive of political issues he's seen in Georgia in 3 decades. Now, a lot to unpack there, but for the Representative Park Cannon that was arrested for knocking on the door, you know, for essentially doing her job, representing the people that have elected her. They put her in handcuffs and escorted her out of the Georgia, I'm not sure if it's the Georgia Capitol, but I believe it was. But what I just find, again, so interesting about that is, you can escort this black queer representative out. But when the instructions was over there at our Capitol, baby, you just let them go. But anyway, I'm not even going to get into that. When she was just knocking on the door, doing the right of her people to want to just see the bill that Governor Kemp has signed into law. And, you know, when most governors sign things into law, there's a press conference, you know, there's like news and talk about it. You don't hide behind doors. But anyway, I just wanted to just put that point out there. But it's a lot with this bill. And yes, a lot of people are calling it the new Jim Crow laws. And some people are like, oh, that's been extreme. So let's actually stop and unpack this a little bit. So we know Georgia has flipped from red to blue. You know that we won those two Senate seats. We got our House of Representatives. So Georgia is, you know, really being progressive. It's really kind of turning. It's been a red state for forever. And due to the large fact that voices were heard. And I don't talk about this often on the podcast, but you know, if the amount of people that we have in the United States, if everyone had access to voting, like, we kind of sort of know what the trends would be like. And so these type of laws are specifically put into place to stop Black and brown people from being able to vote, from not being able them to vote. And why do they want to do that? Because they don't want to continue to see Georgia go blue. They wanted to go back to these old ways that they used to be. So they passed these laws like this. And so it really is, when people say your vote doesn't count, what they're doing in Georgia should show you that your vote very much so does count, and they don't want it to count. Okay?
Yep.
Because, and when you think about this, like, think about this back to our elections as to when everything was going on, when, you know, the former disgraced president was calling these senators saying, like, you got to do something. You got to take a look into this thing. And so, just like in Pennsylvania, like, we have county by county. And so each county is able to delegate and, like, you know, to handle their own counties. And so with this new law that Georgia then passed, baby, they can intervene in the counties. So if they would have had political pressure like they would have had this time last year from the former disgraced president, they would have been able to do something. And so it is just like, it's a lot.
It's criminal. It just is. Like, you're criminalizing people giving other people food and water in line.
And let's also break that down. So, why is that important? So we don't necessarily have this problem in Pennsylvania, but anytime there is a general election in Atlanta, the way that their polling system works, we always see on the news that, you know, especially in the brown and black areas or areas that are near very heavily populated places of black and brown people, why is the polling lines always so long? Why are they wrapped around the corner? Like, it shouldn't be like that. And so a lot of the times you'll have volunteers out there giving water and food to people because some people just literally can't wait that long. They got to go to work. Other people, the elderly that normally don't get out. Sometimes their blood sugar can't stand that long. They out in the sun, they getting dehydrated. So this people volunteering, giving water, giving food, it really encourages people to get out and vote. If you got to wait in this long line, we're going to get you food. We're going to get you water. We're going to make sure that you're able to vote. Doing things like this directly stop that. They don't want the people to come out and whine, oh, you got to vote. You got to wait in this 3-hour line, which I don't understand. It's 2021. Why should anybody have to wait 3.5 hours to vote?
It's crazy. Because another part of the bill is rolling back the amount of polling places in the ones in the areas that there already are too little to begin with. It's just that they're trying to make it as hard as possible. They are sick over the fact that Georgia flipped. They are sick. It is driving them up a wall. So now they are doing anything that they can to pass this law so that there are less opportunities for black and brown people to vote, to make it harder for them, to criminalize friendly behavior. You're really about to arrest somebody for trying to hand somebody a granola bar? I can't get no damn Nature Valley because it's a criminal act now. Like, what is that? It's so blatant, too. It's so obvious what they're doing.
Right. But, you know, but these are the same senators that did not want to move forward with charges for the president for inciting a riot. But yet you want to hold somebody criminally accountable for giving out a granola bar and water. And for me, when people be like, oh, racist isn't real. And when we think about, it brings me back to Miss Sharon Osbourne. And when we were talking, and update on that, Fox has let her go. She is no longer with the talk. But it brings me back to that.
She's gone.
She's gone. But it brings me back to that point that you made when Sharon Osbourne was defending Piers Morgan. And she was saying, like, show me where he was racist. Show me where he said it. Like, basically saying, like, did he say the N-word? And Cheryl Underwood had to be like, well, no, it's deeper than that. These laws, it's like, oh, people are like, it's not racist. That's not the new Jim Crow. It's called systematic racism for a reason. These are the systems that they are putting into place. These are like, you heard a redlining. You heard my baby boy Justin Sullivan talking about in the banking and financial industry, like the redlining of where people could get loans, houses where they wanted people. This is what it looks like in 2021. This is why people are calling it the new Jim Crow laws, because it's like it largely will not affect the Republican voter base. It won't affect them, nope. Their base. It will largely...
They have plenty of polling places over there. You know, they can walk in. It's really nice. You know, they're probably handing out moist towelettes or d'oeuvres as you're waiting in line. You know,
because that's not illegal. Really, it's just the water in the granola bar.
But it's nice in there.
It's just crazy. And, you know, it's just like I just feel like every vote should count, and it just seems like, you know, this is
just further proof that every vote does count, right? Like, look at all of the stuff that they are doing to make sure that you don't vote down there. If your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't be doing all of this. Like, you have, like, there is so much power. There is so much power in the public.
And you better believe they're doing things in Pennsylvania as well, too. This Georgia is not the only state. Like, these other senators, and they are, it's all over. And so it's just that Georgia is one of the first, and it's kind of like a super haul that it just, it's crazy. And so I just obviously wanted to just bring this to the casual tea, because I think it's important for us to talk about it. It's important for, you know, for people to understand. Like, some people are like, oh, like, you know, they should have their ID, and, like, you know, I'm not disputing a lot of that, like, you know, but it is in which the manner in which that they are rolling it out, and it's the manner in which that they are, that when you look at the numbers of people, and when you look at, like, you know, the number of, like, black and brown people, like, between the ages of, like, 18 and, you know, 30 that have an ID. And it's like, to some people, that might be like, who doesn't have an ID? But depending on the circumstances and where people come from, I'm a social worker. I had to deal with a lot of, like, our teens, our teenagers, our teenage population. And a lot of them, they're not taught things like that. A lot of them don't have IDs. A lot of them, and that's what they bank on, because if they don't have the right foundation of a family, of someone showing them these type of things, then more than likely, they're not going to want to go out and get it.
When it's time to vote, it'll be too late to,
too late. And so it's like, it's this systematic thing that really trickles down, that when you really see who it is affecting, when you really see what handing out water does to an elderly person waiting in line, it's really sad. And again, it's 2021 in America, and this is what we are dealing with. And this is, and you can believe that, you know, coming 3.5 years, this will be a major issue and a major talking point. But again, it's really important that we encourage people to get out and vote, to get out and get your ID, to get out and, you know, to get ahead of this. Because, and like you said, it's not even, it's so blatant that it's astonishing to me, honestly. Like, it's just like, wow, y'all are really just like, I mean, it is.
It's like the fight is never over. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Biden winning was a huge and great thing, but it's like it doesn't end there. There's still so much work that has to be done, so much time to, like, heal this country, to change the culture, to change the way that people think, because there are still a large contingent of people that still believe that Biden is not the legitimate president. There were people that were, I forget what they call themselves, but I think they call themselves sovereign citizens. They were under the impression that Trump would get sworn into office again on March 5th or something. Like, they were reading the Constitution and talking about how, because Biden isn't the real elected president, that a coup was going to happen eventually, and that Trump will return, like, the return of the king. Like, it's like, there are people out here that are on that type of time. And so I don't think that it's too far of the realm of possibility that there are people that are on that type of time that hold positions of power to enact stuff like this. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. It really is.
Mm-mm-mm. Right. And so I think it's important for us to talk about it. And, you know, because if we don't, then they just roll it into law. People will never know. And then when it's time for another election, we act surprised when we don't know. So we have to be four steps ahead of them. We've got to make sure that we are talking to our young people. We are got to make sure that we do our part as individual citizens to make sure.
And I'm just so glad that Stacey Abrams is down there, because you know that she's not here for this at all. Like, listen, she's going to do what she can to make sure that this does not go
absolutely
forward.
And, you know, Stacey Abrams was really big on, like, getting out early, really, like, a grassroots campaign, really
she,
like,
is the reason that state went blue.
And so, right. And so, and that, and this is their, like, and this bill is the antichrist to Stacey Abrams. Like, you know, this is like their way of trying to refute that. And it's really sad to see. But I am a believer of, you know, good and the truth will always prevail. And I feel like when you do good and you come from a good place, now, it's not just all of that, but I do believe that, like, it, we will prevail in the end. It's going to be uphill battle, and battle, keyword battle, but definitely, it's just a lot. So I just thought it was important to talk about. You have anything else on that topic?
No, I mean, it's just despicable. The fact that that senator was arrested, or that representative rather, was arrested is just. Like, I mean, she's just doing her job. It's just crazy. I mean, it's they're just sick over the fact that Georgia flipped. They're so mad about it, and they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that this upcoming election cycle, even though the Republican Party is really, it's still trash right now. Like, where is the leadership over there? Like, who are you going to prop up? You're going to go for Trump again, really? Like, why does Trump have such a strong chokehold on that party? Like, your party is like dying and it's like finished. It's just ugh. You hate to see, well, you don't hate to see it. I love to see it, actually, but it is what it is.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Now, moving the casualty along, something came up on my timeline feed. So I'm not sure if you guys are aware of the rapper Waka Flocka. Waka, Flocka, Waka, Flocka. You know, he was big Waka, in the late 2020s. He was brought on by Gucci Mane. He had, like, a couple of big party singles. He
came and performed at Drexel one time, like, yes. Freshman year, I think. He was like the homecoming performer.
that's his circuit. It's like college students. They really love, like, you know, because I'd be lying if I said I know any new music that Waka Flocka has put out. Now, back in the day, when Waka Flocka,
certainly do not.
When Waka Flocka first came out, I was really a fan of Waka Flocka. I thought Waka Flocka was cute. I was like, yes, you know. But that was like damn near 15 years ago. Since then, Waka, like many rapper, like many, I won't even call Waka a one-hit wonder, because Waka does, he got some jams. Since, you know, his music career has slowed up, he has turned into a reality star. He has his wife Tammy Rivera, and they are, you know, they have a show on WeTV. They've been on Love and Hip Hop, so some of you might know them, some of you might not. But the story is important because Waka Flocka, in the past headlines, has made headlines a lot for just stating his opinion, and stating his opinion especially towards the LGBTQ community, definitely during, like, in the post-Trump. He just definitely had a lot of opinions. A lot of his opinions, in my opinion, are what made me not like him, and especially to the LGBTQ community. And more specifically, it seemed like a lot of his opinions were around black gay men, like how he doesn't believe in, you know, just a lot of different stuff. Now, I don't want to go into put words in his mouth, but I just know that a lot of his statements, a lot of his comments on blogs have not been pro-LGBTQ, and more specifically, not been pro black gay men. And so they have this show, Tammy, like Meet the Wakas, Tammy and Waka. So Tammy has a 16-year-old daughter named Charlie, who Waka Flocka is not Charlie's biological father. But when Tammy and Waka got together, Waka assumed the role of Charlie's father, which is great to see. I can't lie. I do love, like I said, I be watching these shows. I watch Tammy. I used to be a huge fan of Waka. So, like, to see Waka's, like, love and care for Charlie over the years has been great. A new storyline on this season of Waka Flocka is that Charlie is having a quinceañera. She's turning 16, and she has, like, come out to her mom that, like, she likes girls, which is great. Yes, more power to you. And so it's this big thing that, you know, she's got to tell, or she's got to, like, another thing that I didn't really like was that, like, you know, on the show, that they made it seem like she had to, like, tell Waka. First of all, you don't have to tell nobody if you don't want to, okay? And that's the end. You can live in your truth, and they're going to have to, like, whatever. But anyway, you know, her relationship with Waka was so good that, like, Tammy felt as though, like, she should tell Waka what was going on and who she wanted to bring to her quinceañera. And so she had said that she wanted to bring a girl as her date. And the internet praised Waka because Waka was like, okay, what's the big deal about this? Like, okay, bring who you want to bring. I'm cool with that. I love you. And everyone was just like, yes, we love Waka. He is such a good parent. He supports Charlie being, you know, gay and the LGBTQ. Yes. So I like, mind you, I don't mean to cut you off, but I had mixed feelings about that, but I didn't really say anything. I'm just like, oh, okay, like, you know, whatever. I'm going to, you know, this black man supporting his black daughter who is, like, you know, a part of the LGBTQ, you know, great. So, plot twist. There is a popular comedian on the Wildin' Out show. His name is Zoe. You might know him from like Zoe Fridays. He twerks on the pole on Friday. He's a comedian. He's funny. I love him. I follow him. He be doing cooking stuff. He like, you know, he also like any like popular viral videos, he'll turn into a FaceTime call and like talk it through. I love it. And Zoe took to his social media to give his reaction. And for me, it's always important for me to hear other gay black men's reaction to things, because sometimes I'll feel a certain type of way, but because it's not the popular opinion, I'm like, Bryce, no, you crazy. Like, no, you don't make sense. You can't say that. And so for me to hear from somebody that looks and sounds like me, Zoe, take to his social media. And he said, again, what I want to talk about is not necessarily has to do with Waka, Tammy, and their daughter, Charlie, but it has to do with a lot of, and specifically in the black community, he brought up a number of different things that I would love your opinion, so forgive me for being long-winded. But he talked about how you know, he was so accepting and so like, you know, yay for Charlie, and everyone was praising him. However, when it came a couple of months ago to Dwayne Wade and his daughter Zaya, and we know the transition that's going on with Zaya, how Waka had some not so great words for Dwayne or that process, or when it comes to gay men and gay marriages and things like that, how Waka was not really for that. So Zoe really called a thing, and he said it's the hypocrisy for me. And more importantly, another thing that he touched on that I privately talk to a lot of my friends about a lot, but I don't necessarily speak publicly, is that, and especially in the black community, the difference of when you have a lesbian daughter as opposed to a gay son, that there is a hypocrisy in the community that does not, like, you know, it seems that in our community, and I can, again, only can speak to like what my experience is that at times, and I'm not saying that someone that is gay or a lesbian's their battle is different, but more times than not, it's celebrated. It's sexualized. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like they're okay with that. But let it be a gay black, a young queer boy or a male to female trans transition. It is demonized. It's like it's just. And so Zoe really spoke to the fact that it's interesting that how Waka had nothing to do or nothing, like, you know, he didn't really have anything to say about that. But just a couple of months ago, you had so much to say. And it's just like the hypocrisy. And even Zoe said, you should be careful about talking about other things that you know nothing about or has nothing to do with you, because it might end up in your own house. And I said, ooh. And so I agreed with Zoe's point that it's like, oh, okay, so we just gonna give Waka this pass. Now also, Tammy, his wife, she's a clapbacker, and she clapped back at Zoe, which, again, I feel like Tammy said a bunch of stuff in her clapback. I like Tammy. I support Tammy. Tammy has a gay best friend. His name's Shaw Santiago. And so, like, you know, I love their relationship. And Tammy shared with us that, like, you know, a couple of years ago, she was not for gay marriage, but it was through her friendship with her, through Shad, that she was able to kind of see that her ways were wrong and that she has had growth. And, you know, so she was very angry in this message, but she did say that, is Waka not allowed to change? Is he not allowed to grow? And it brought me back to our conversation that I had with, like, about this cancel culture. So I see so much in all of this, like, this. I can relate to what Zoe is saying and the hypocrisy of Waka Flocka, and that, you know, he's seems to be, when it comes to gay men and of things of that nature, he doesn't have much to say about it. But now that it's his own daughter, it seems that his heart has softened. And then I also agree with Tammy that, okay, Waka might not have said the most encouraging things, but can he not change? Can he not grow? Are we not going to allow him to do that? And so I just wanted to bring this to the casual tea, because I think there is a very much so complex issue, and I'm just curious to know what your thoughts are on it.
I think that there's just so much pain between black gay men and black straight men, because it's always been a really, really rough relationship, right? Because, I mean, we not to get too deep into all of this, but, like, we know the history of this country. We know the narrative of, like, how black men were, you know, sort of, like, emasculated through slavery and everything and broken and... like the destruction of the nuclear black family was definitely a concerted effort centuries ago, and so I still feel like there's such a narrative that gets pushed by straight men that if you're gay and you're black, then that's just like you're the scum of the earth because you're destroying what it means to be a strong black man. Like you are allowing it's some Hotep shit, really. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like there is so much strife and distrust between these two sets of people that whenever there is something like this that comes to light and somebody like Waka Flocka is being celebrated for being a good parent, which is what you should be doing anyway, like you married into this family or whatever your situation is, like, you know, didn't nobody ask you to come up in here and be this child's father? That was your decision. So you then don't get to come up in this child's life and then ruin it. You know what I mean? So are we really about to give you all of this praise for a decision that you yourself made as a grown-ass man? Like, didn't nobody ask you to come over here and parent this child? You did that. So I understand, like, I don't really know much about Zoe, but I understand his point in that it's like, how, like, yes, there is change that is allowed, that there is change that people can go through, and I don't think that anybody is above redemption, but I also understand how much redemption is there really. I understand, like, the culture of distrust, because there are, I mean, and I'm not generalizing all black straight men, but there are a lot of black straight men that just aren't here for us. They don't like it. They think that we're disgusting. They just don't see us real alpha. They don't see us as men. They don't.
Right.
And they think that we are taking away from them. So when you have those kinds of experiences with black straight men, it's like, and you see something like this, you're like, I mean, has he really changed though? Because how does he feel about me? You know what I mean?
Right.
Which on one end is like, oh, that's kind of selfish. Like, this is supposed to be a moment about this particular family. Like, he is doing something great for his daughter, so, like, don't poo-poo it. But I also think that there can be conversation that takes place.
Right.
That doesn't have to lead to cancellation. It could just be, hey, this is great. I love this. But I also think that there's still work that needs to be done. I don't know what Waka Flocka's personal life is like. How is he with other queer people that aren't his family? You know what I mean? Like, how much change is actually going on here? Because I think that that's the conversation that's warranted given the history and given his, you know, his prior actions.
Yeah, so. I agree so much, and I hate to always just bring up Wendell in my podcast, but I feel like Wendell and I's friendship is a shining example of that. Like, and, you know, I, on personal levels, I share with Wendell, and I confide in him a lot about, like, why our friendship to me is so special, in the sense that, like, I at times I have a distrust with black men because I feel like they all see me as certain ways. And so, like, through our friendship and, like, you know, through me telling him the things that I've been through, for me understanding, like, different things, like, mm-hmm. he's able to go then be an ally, which is why him and I celebrate our friendship so much, because it is so important that, you know, a heterosexual black man and a queer black man can be friends, and that, like, you know, like, that it needs to be highlighted, because there are people like Waka Flocka that have a huge platform that spew this negativity at times, and it's very damaging. And then it's like, okay, so then you do this one act on your show, and it's like, oh, all this to be forgotten. Like, that doesn't sit well with me, and I don't like that. At the same time, it doesn't sit well with me to cancel him, because I feel like through love, through education, you know, it can be... we can get to a point where it's not like this. But again, then at the same time as me, it's like, well, damn, then I've not only got to be the abused, I've not only got to be the hurt, then now I got to turn around and be the teacher. It's like, it's such a battle to be a gay black man. And again, some people are like, oh, you screaming mm-hmm. too much, you say it too much. And like I've said earlier on, the Black Lives Matter movement was happening in the survivor community, when we were all coming together to really, like, try to get CBS to see us, that, you know, to see 50% BIPOC, you know, I was very vocal in that community saying, like, I'm a gay black man, and I think it's important for me to say that. And baby, the resistance that I received from some people, oh, It's crazy. Like, essentially, I was told to shut up and be black. You are black first. Well, no, I'm actually not. I'm a gay black man. Understand what that is.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I had a similar conversation with somebody else. It's crazy.
And it's like, people don't understand that. They don't understand the fight that we go through. Like, oh, they're like, oh, the LGBTQ movement's doing amazing. Well, let's just be clear about that, because in the LGBTQ community, it's a white gay man's community. We are still seen as
intersectionality. Intersectionality. I don't understand why people are so freaking stupid when it comes to that stuff.
So
it's crazy.
It's a lot. They do not understand. And I get it. Some people, they just don't. And so, why I always come from a place of love, why I always am, like, you know, screaming from the top of my lungs. And if anyone heard my church announcements this episode, this is even the more reason that it's important for me. So you don't know, but anyway, in my church announcements, I share that one of my coworkers from, like, one of my first jobs ever, we've been, like, maintained friends. We even, like, worked together a couple of times. And, like, you know, they had a son. And their son, like, he in college now. First year in college, came home from spring break. And I had told him over the spring break. And he, like, came out to me. And it was such a beautiful thing. And, like, he was, like, just telling me how scared he was, and that he remembers me being in his life, and that, like, seeing me being such a shining star really, like, encouraged him to live in his truth. And my story is that me growing up, when I was, like, his age, I didn't have that. I was scared to, like, turn 30, because I didn't know what 30 as a gay black man looked like. And so I always say that, like, I don't know. And so that's why I try to live in my truth. And look at me, living in my truth has literally directly affected somebody around me. And it's just such an amazing thing that, like, the thing that I did not have that I speak upon is now the thing that I am literally giving to someone else. And it, like, just, like, in that moment in itself is just so powerful. And so again, it just all translates back to them. When we see these people like Waka Flocka who don't say kind things or who actively throw shade on specifically gay black men, and then turns out their daughter is in the LGBTQ community and it's smiles and sunshine. Mm-hmm. Like, that conversation needs to...
You gotta switch it up, yeah.
Then you gotta switch it up, because then it's like, oh, you can't be a hater because now you stop in the LGBTQ community. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, it's a deeply complex issue, and this is my perspective, and guess what? I'm going to stand on it. And again, I'm not saying we need to cancel Waka Flocka. I'm not saying none of that, but I am saying it gives me pause, and it gives me, like, and I wanted to, like,
right. I think that it's just, it should not be that easy is the point. It should not be as simple as, oh, you now have somebody that's gay in your family. You now have somebody that's gay that you've befriended them, and now you've seen the error of your ways, and therefore you are absolved of all of your past actions. No, like, no one. It's great that he is. I think that it's great what he is doing. I think that that's awesome that he is being there for his daughter. That is amazing. Here, that's also what you should be doing, and it's also it doesn't take away from the things that you have already done. We don't need to hang it over your head, but we just need, like, I'm like, pardon me if I'm not over here throwing a party and I'm kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting how things happen, because we have been in far too many situations where these same people did not show up for us in the past. So it's like,
well,
you have to sort of, like, have your chosen family as a queer person.
Yes.
You have to be sort of, like, very protective over the people that you let in that bubble, because not everybody is here for you, or they're not here for you when they really should be. So it's just, I think it's as simple as that. And if people don't understand that, then they can F off for all the hell I care, for real.
And for real. And this will be my last point that I made. And so I thought it was interesting in the black community when this Waka Flocka story happened. And again, I'm just going by the comments that I've seen, because you know me, I'm a comment. I have a master's degree in commentology. Okay. Because I like to read the comments. Okay. I'm through them, because half the time the posts don't even be funny. It's the comments. And so for me, what I thought was interesting was that around this Waka Flocka story, how much praise he was getting, and how much, like, you know, people were saying, like, oh, it's the LGBTQ community. They always trying to cancel somebody. Look at this dad being a great dad. Look, okay, that's fine. But let's just rewind 3 months ago with Dwayne Wade and Zaya, and a same similar post of Dwayne Wade supporting his daughter, Zaya. And I'm reading through those comments, and those comments look a world of different. And again, this is the point that I feel like Zoe was bringing up and what he was saying about how when it comes to our queer males, when it comes to our trans community, when it comes to like the different type of stuff, it's like, okay, certain stuff for the gay stuff we could take, but with this and that, like, we can, like, no, we have to stop that, because in the end it affects our children, the kids that are growing up that see this, that see like, oh my god, being gay is an issue, I don't ever want to come out, I don't ever want to have to tell my parents, I don't ever want to have to do this because I'm going to have to be persecuted. No, that's what you are saying, and it's like, you're crazy if you think that it's not in your family. You're crazy if you think you're not around a young person that is not struggling with their sexuality. Like, it's crazy to think that. Like, and so you just don't know what that type of imagery is putting out, or what it sees it, or what it does to them. And then you wonder why the suicide rate in the LGBTQ community among our black, brown people is so much more higher. It's so much more, like, you know, it all kind of sort of comes from this. And so, which is why I will always and forever use, if I'm for whatever platform I have, is that I will be myself. I will, like, I've worked too hard, I've been through too much, and to come to the place that I'm just happy with being myself. I, like, you know, I don't like, you know, that I won't talk about it. Yes. And for anybody that says that I talk about it too much, listen, there's the door. Goodbye. Yes. Because what you not going to do for me, and what you not going to do over here, is tell me what I've come through, what I, like, you haven't walked the shoes that I've walked through, you haven't seen the things that I have seen, you have not, you, and which is why I will never tell somebody else how to feel or to whatever. Like, I come from a place of love, I come from a place of compassion, I choose to live in my truth. And, like, again, it's this topic is sensitive for me, because it's literally my life, and it literally affects young boys, young girls, young people like myself. It affects their life. And listen,
and yeah, and it takes, I think people don't really realize that. I think it really does take a lot of work to, like, mend those types of relationships in your life, because it manifests itself. Like,
it takes a lot of work for you to actually be okay with the fact that, like, oh my god, I'm gay. And, like, just in itself, like, you have to go through this acceptance thing where it's like, my life is over. Like, I felt that. I know what that is like, to be like, oh my god, I'm not going to be able to, like, to live the life I wanted to live. Oh my god, my friends are not going to accept. Like, it's like, you
love
just
me. Like, my parents may disown me. Am I ever going to, like, am I ever going to be able to, like, fall in love? Is anybody ever going to want me? All of that stuff that kids are going through.
That
kids,
they have to go through.
And I know, like, that kids still go through a lot, even, like, straight kids go through a lot. I know that, but it's like, it's still like a separate experience for queer people, where it's like,
right. And then this notion of the notion that they have to come out. Like, granted, don't get me wrong, I think coming out is a beautiful thing and it's great, but I hate in our society that the burden is placed on us, again, the disenfranchised, to then reveal our deepest truths to you, who you are not
without, like, without knowing what the reaction is going to be like, you know, like,
no, but we know what the reaction is going to be like. We see what the society norms are like. It's like, I hate that notion. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. We don't have to reveal our truths to you. We don't owe you anything. We are just being, and we are living in our truth, period.
Yes. Yes.
I just, like, do you expect your heterosexual son to be like, hey mom, I'm dating a girl? Like, no. So don't put that on us. We don't want it. We don't. We're just trying to live, period. Like, live. Like, and when I say live, I legitimately mean live.
Just exist.
Breathe another day.
Just, like, literally just minding our own business.
Own business.
Like, we're not bothering anybody.
I ain't trying, like, listen. So again, like, and that's a whole nother conversation for another conversation, but this coming out thing, like, as if, like, it's bitch, we don't owe you that.
Not one second of it. Nope.
Not 1 second. And here's another topic of another topic. And then the thing of when people ask you, do you like girls? Are you gay? Excuse me? I don't owe that to you. And anybody that's listening, stop doing that. Don't ever ask somebody their sexuality. And my method is, like, so for instance, me and my sister have a great, I don't know how we got here, but I guess we here, Amon. But me and my sister have a great relationship. And I remember as an adult, like, me and my sister, like, she was saying to me, like, she was like, you never came out to me, Bryce. And so it really we had a really healthy conversation, and I had shared with my sister. I said, I never felt the need to come out to you. I said, I always wanted to be around you. I felt like I was truly and authentically myself, and I felt like you supported me, and I felt like what was understood didn't need to be said. And she was like, you know what, Bryce? I never thought about it like that. Like, yes, like, what, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm entrusting you with myself and my being, mm-hmm. why do I have to tell it? Like, you know what I'm saying? And my sister was like, right. And I'm like, yeah. And for people that go take it upon themselves to ask yeah. somebody, like, no, it's actually rude, it's disrespectful, and it's triggering. Don't do it. If you feel that comfortable with that person, then guess what? That person should come to you. And it is the burden is on the person to open up to you, not for you to crack the walnut and say, hey, like, no. So anybody that's listening, a little etiquette, don't do it. If you suspect they might be gay, if you suspect this and that, then guess what? Continue to love on them. Continue to support them. Continue to encourage them to be themselves, because guess what? That is letting that young person know that you love them and you support them. And guess what? And if you are so gracious, if you are so lucky enough, that person might reveal their truth to you. And if they don't, guess what? Still love on them and still be there for that person. Don't expect them to come out to you like that. Like, I hate that notion. Don't get me wrong. I think coming out is a beautiful thing, but to put it on us, like, we have to, like, we've got to, like, mm-hmm. no, you can miss me with all of that.
Yeah. No, it's, it, I mean, just hearing you talk about it, like, so many flashbacks have just
it's
people interrogating me, like, are you gay? Like, ugh,
right.
Why do you talk like that? Why do you
talk like a girl? Why do you walk like that? Why do you do that?
Are you playing with Barbies? Oh, my God. Were you watching Sailor Moon? Ew. Like, I just, then, oh, my God. It was endless. It was endless.
And then it's like, you know, even when you come, like, you can come to the acceptance and be okay, but then when you are interrogated like that, it's like you retreat back to, like, no, I'm not, I'm fine,
yes.
I'm good.
There's so much code switching all the time, and then you wrap that up with being black as well, already having to navigate that. It's just like, God damn it, it sucks. Oh my God, it sucks. Like, there's just so much work. Like I said before, there's so much work that you have to do to unlearn all of that, and to, like, trauma to consume you either, which is annoying as well, because I didn't ask for this fucking trauma. Okay. Like, it was forced upon me. And so, like, now I have to do the work that other people did. Like, I have to do all this stuff to get through it. And it's like, that's at the end of the day, it's like, well, yes, I'm on, you do. Like, if you want to live your life, yeah, it sucks. The world sucks. But you do have to, at some point, you have to decide for yourself that you're not going to let these people do this to you anymore, and that you have to be your own person. And it's such a hard thing to learn, and it's something that I struggle with to this day. There are still people of my life that I hide from, that I'm not completely myself around, and I'm really, really trying, because I know that the longer that I allow this to happen, the worse and worse it will become as you get older, because I really feel like I'm not like a psychologist or anything. I don't want to be out here self-diagnosing, but I just, in my own humble opinion, I really feel like it really has an effect on the personalities of gay people.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that really takes a toll when you are forced to retreat all of the time and try to hide things about yourself, and then you can only let them out around certain people, and you just do that over and over and over and over and over again. I really feel like at some point your brain, I just think that that's not good for the brain. I just don't think that it's good. It's just not, it's tiresome. It's oh,
where,
man.
Where do you think the trope of, like, gay men are shady? They're, like, you know, they're, like, they're sneaky. They're, like, you know, like, where do you think that those type of tropes live at? Like, that exactly what you're speaking of. When you are constantly having to code switch, when you are constantly having to change, when you're constantly having to evolve, when you're constantly having to monitor the way you're walking, when you constantly are like, you know what, in this situation, I'm not going to talk.
The way you talk,
the way you wear your clothes, the way that you look, your facial expressions. Like, how many times in high school of mine, let me just ask you this, were classes that you wanted to participate or that you thought would be, like, so much fun, but then you spoke out the scene, and then you were like, I'm gonna retreat and be the quiet kid that sits in the back?
Oh, this happened so many times. I remember, like, being like, just all the time, like, even on the bus to school, mm-hmm. like, being surrounded by a bunch of other straight, at least straight presenting, because there could have been queer people all over the place.
Right.
No, because people were
hiding. And it was. Uh-huh. And, okay, and for me, I always, this is another thing, and then we'll quickly move, we don't, won't quickly, but for me, I always loved the, like, the start of a new school year, because for me, it was like, oh, I would get new clothes, and it was like, almost as if, like, I could have a new identity. Like, that's like, I lived for the start of a new school year, because it was like, oh, let me get my little, Old Navy track vest, let me get my, like, and you know, I'll be mm-hmm. able to, like, fit in, and I mean, every year, I was sadly disappointed, but like, you know, like, these are the traumas that, like, we have to deal with, like, when you see a person that might be on the spectrum of the LGBTQ and they don't want to go to school, and like, you're like, think like, they're, like, you just don't know the possibilities of just, there's so many different things, and that, like, that they have to endure, that they have to, and like, there aren't really resources. There aren't really resources, and especially people of color. Like, I'm speaking, like, when I grew up, like, I had no resources. Like, I had to figure it out. So, like, you know, I, again, it's a, it fills my heart with joy to know that me living in my truth is giving a play-by-play manual to somebody that's watching me that I have no right. idea is watching me, that is, like, helping them live in their truth. Like, it, like, when I tell you, like, I could literally cry thinking of that. But then at the same time, it's like, well, bitch, that's a lot of responsibility. Like, you know, it but is. I can't think like that. I won't think like that, because I'm, again, I just have to live in my truth. But what?
Because I mean, there's nothing that you can really do. You know what I mean? It's just the reality of the situation. It's like, and that's what I was kind of getting at before, where I feel sometimes so frustrated by that, about like the responsibility of it all, and about the fact that I have to do all of this work. But we have to. And
at the same time, keep a smile on your face and be happy. And, like, right. you know, like, and act like remember, nothing's going on.
Yeah. And just remember that it is all for a greater purpose, because 100 years from now, hopefully, this won't be a thing. Like, if people grow up and they're queer, it's like, okay, and, like, who gives a shit? Like, that's the future that we all want. Sadly, we were not blessed to be born in that time where that was already a thing. But, and, you know, like, I just think about all the people that came before me and what, like, how it was harder for them. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I, at the same time, like, as frustrated as I am, as like, as annoyed as I am that I was robbed of certain experiences as a kid. Like, I couldn't take anybody that I really wanted to go to dances with. I couldn't have open crushes. I'm like, I feel like I'm so delayed in all of that because I hid myself for so Oh my God, I'm about to start crying.
It's the truth, though. Like, for real. Like, and how many times would you be on the phone and you would say they? You would say them. Like, you know, like, it's
all
just
the
like,
time.
Yeah, like, yes. Like, that's the reality. Like, absolutely. Like, how many times, like, you know, that you.
And it pisses me off sometimes because. And I love my sister so much. I do. And this isn't anything bad about her, but it's just. I mean, she's getting married this year, and sometimes I just feel so. Jealous because I'm like, you were allowed to have, like, you're marrying your high school sweetheart. I could never have one. And like, you have a house. I'm going to probably be an uncle within the next 2 years, and you're about to have all these experiences. And I just feel like, where would I be if I were straight? Would that be me too? Would I actually have somebody right now? Or, you know, it's just things like that, like, it just really bums me out when I think about them. But yeah, you just have to keep reminding yourself
you
that
do.
you can't ruminate. You just have
you
to.
Can.
You have to keep
And ruminating. you have to realize, one, Amon, that when I say that I'm on a road to a better Bryce, and when I say that I am, you know, trying to be a better me, a lot of that is breaking down the heterosexual normities that I have in my head. And that you have in your head. And that, like, you know, like, yeah, like, for instance, like, you're seeing your sister go through all of that. And, like, you know, like, that's a heterosexual normity that is, like, that is sent to the masses. And that's what we are programmed to say, like, that is normal. That's what it is. And that's why you have those feelings of, like, guilt or like, sadness. Could this be me? But I encourage and I want to empower you to know that, like, that's not our normal. And we are in the process of figuring out what our normal is, and that, like, we are on a path of our own, and we've got to create that. And, like, your love will come. Your time will come. But we are just on a different road, and we can't integrate that time, that heterosexual timeline, into our life. You know, and it's like literally having to deconstruct that. And it's sad. Like, you know, I completely agree with you. I grew up watching fairy tales. Like, I want a wedding. I want, like, you know, here and about to have me cry. Like, here I am planning my best, helping plan my best friend's wedding. And, like, you don't think that, like, you know, I'm like, well, damn, we the same age. We graduated high school together. This girl that got a man. She got two kids. She getting married. And I'm still just living in my house by myself with my damn turtle. Like, yes, but I try to take all of that and I try to be like, you know what? I'm still just discovering myself. I'm still just, I'm honestly still learning to love myself. And how selfish would that of me to want to be in a relationship, to want to have children, if, bitch, I don't even truly love myself? How can I give love to somebody else? And so for me, it's really like, you know, to get out of thinking of like what that timeline is. Guess what, bitch? I'm on the timeline of Bryce motherfucking Isaiah. And guess what? That's the timeline. Yes. And that's what it is. And giving ourselves compassion and giving ourselves love and also giving ourselves to say, you know what? Okay. It's okay to be a little sad at that. You know, it's okay to like want that. But guess what? I'm going to want it in my own time. I'm going to want it in my own right. And I'm going to want it for me. And I just, that's just it. And it's a lot. And the issue is, and it's so funny, Iman, because, like, you know, we talked about this, like, the first time that we were doing the casualty, and, like, how this is, like, a conversation that we want to have. But, like, again, what were some of the things that we were saying about? All we talked about was fear and, like, how could we present something like this? And look at the way God is just showing up and, like, literally just, like, using this conversation for us to, like, to just be ourselves. And, like, it is what it is. And the issue that I think happens is that these conversations don't happen. And if they do happen, they are people that don't look or sound like us. Like, when I've never, like, you know, for the black young queer person out there, like, these type of conversations don't happen. And if they do, they don't happen often enough and people don't hear them.
Right.
And so, again, and I think it's so, like, the truth in you revealing that about your sister in the wedding is like, it's how we all feel. But again, we don't talk about it. We just internalize it. And then when we internalize it, it manifests itself in, like, other ways in our life. Like, why do you think, like, another trope of, like, gay men is that they're over-sexualized? They're just sexual, like, they, like, you know, because, bitch, that's all we know. That's all, all the media puts down our throat. There is no rule book. There is no, like, there is none of that. And it's so,
like the media is so obsessed with the sex of it all, and they leave out all of the other stuff.
They leave out the romance. They leave out being in a college. And it's like, how many times are you watching these Netflix shows that I love, like Emily in Paris and Euphoria, like with Rue telling the story? But it's like, well, bitch, when they gonna get a black gay guy that to tell my story? Like, I want to see my love story in high school. Like what? They're pushing the gay agenda. They just want these kids to be gay. Like, no, baby, these kids know what's up in high school. Baby, I knew in fifth grade I was different. Like, stop playing with me. But it's like, again, when we say representation matters, it's like, why do we always have to follow these high school musicals? Like, why can't we see our own selves on the TV and it be admired, adored, and loved? And, like, why can't, like, you know, what's that? Bridgerton. Why, like, where's my Bridgerton? I'm so serious. Where is my Bridgerton? Like, that always be my show. And it's like, I love period pieces like that, Iman. I really do. But I will be lying if I say when I watch them, I don't get sad. That I don't, like, sometimes cry. Because it's like, that could never be me. And why is that? Because, again, we're buying into the heterosexual timeline, the heterosexual normancy. Like, you know, where is the homosexual normancy? Where is the black homosexual queer normancy? Oh, one doesn't exist. And if one did exist, they probably burnt it down and didn't want it ever to be seen. So it's like, we are constantly rebuilding, constantly restructuring, constantly trying to, like, just fit in, when it's like, bitch, we don't fit in and we never were meant to fit in. And the second that we realize that, the second that we take that power and say, guess what, bitch, I am different, what's tea? That's when we get our power. That's when we live in our truth. That's when our high school love can come through. That's when when we say, bitch, fuck this, I am not fitting in, I don't want to. Child, you got me preaching. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Whew. I mean, we got other topics to talk about, but I don't even know, like, if we can even talk about. The topics were, like, somewhat along the lines of this. But I mean, I think this.
I was here to say. I feel like Lil Nas X is, like, you know, it really all leads up into this.
And we were going to talk about his video and how, like, people are such in open arms. And, like literally, did we not know that we would give, like, the biggest segue to his video? It's like, yeah. And Lil Nas X has a provocative video where he's being androgynous. He's, like, dressing up as male, as a female. He's, like, the devil. He's giving a lap dance to the devil. And people are always like, oh, my God, look at him with the devil. But no, like, do you understand what it's actually signifying? How many times in your life have you gave a lap dance to the devil? Maybe not in that context, but, you know, sometimes you play with fire. And it's like, yes. Yeah, no. And I think it was so so great. He wrote a letter to his 14-year-old self. And let me pull it up so I can read it to y'all, because I think that it's important. I think we'll end on that.
Woo, no, I love it so much.
Let me just hold it. Wait,
they do a similar thing on Drag Race, like when it gets down to like the final three or four girls, like they'll, like RuPaul will hold up pictures of them when they were really small and say, like, okay, so what would you want to say now to your...
And that's so powerful. So powerful.
Yes.
So he writes... Dear 14-year-old Montero, I wrote a song with our name in it. Nas wrote a message. Nas wrote in the message, it's about a guy I met last summer. I know we promised never to come out publicly. I know we promised to never be that type of gay person. How many times have we said that to ourselves? I know we promised to die with the secret, but this will open doors for many other queer people to simply exist. To see that it is very scary for me. People will be angry. They will say I'm pushing an agenda. But the truth is, I am. The agenda to make people say, to make people stay the fuck out of other people's lives and stop dictating who they should be. Sending you love from the future, Lil Nas X. Is that not, like, how crazy is that? That just, like, literally just, like, the spirit is moving in this podcast.
It really is. Like, I'm like, it's just, I'm so happy that
we have space to talk like this.
That really, yeah, I'm happy that, like, this is happening and that this conversation is taking place and that someone like Lil Nas X is out there doing that for kids, because he did it in such a way that he knew was going to catch fire. He did it that way on purpose. Like, that was the point. It's like, there are so many people, there are so many kids that don't come out of these experiences.
It's a lot. And he even, let me just get, because he even tweeted, because he got the girls together with the people. Now, mind you, we ain't talking about the shoes. The shoes we'll get to at another time point. We're just simply talking about his video. And where is it? Can I swore up. So then when the video was released and he got a lot of slack and hate, he took to Twitter to say, I spent my entire teenage years hating myself because of the shit y'all preached would happen to me because I was gay. So I hope you are mad. Stay mad. Feel the same anger you teach us to have towards ourselves.
Yes. Ooh. Yes. Ooh. Yes. Ooh. He was really, I mean, he was going at it all day on Twitter yesterday.
As he like, should. As anybody should.
Like, just anybody could get it. Like, anybody could get it. Like, it didn't matter if it was a celebrity, it didn't matter if it was just some random fan on, like, anybody could get it. And I've always been a casual fan of Lil Nas X. Like, I just always figured, oh, he's just an up and coming gay rapper, good for him, this is great, I love it. But this whole thing for me has really just changed my opinion about him. Not that it was ever negative, but I have so much admiration for what he's doing, because it is scary and it's hard to fight that demon of, like, oh my goodness, like, what if everybody is right? What if I really am the scum of the earth? What if I am going to burn in hell? What if all this stuff is true? And it's just like, you have to just learn to let that go and just be who you are. Just be who you are, because the myth that if you do that in front of other people, it gives them permission to do the same, so that we stop losing people to something so trivial as sexuality. Like, these so many kids that kill themselves before they even get the chance to even live because of the bullshit that people put on them. And it's it's so over. It's so late. It's so tired. Like, we have to move forward. Like, are we tired yet? Can we talk about something else? So she likes kissing girls. He likes kissing boys. Who gives a shit? Who cares?
And I mean, and I know we're trying to get off this topic, but it's almost like the self-fulfilling prophecy, in the sense that a lot of the times, most of the people that have the loudest opinions about our lifestyle and the way that we live ourselves are 9 times out of 10 in the life themselves, but they had no role model. They saw no positive imagery. They saw what other people had to go through, and they never wanted to go through it again. And they, like, have internalized it to hate. And like
the ones that can sort of like get away with being gay without anybody ever finding out, like the ones that are more a straight presenting or masculine or feminine or whatever it is, whatever the case may be, whenever you're able to sort of like pass, you're like, oh, well, I obviously am doing something right because I'm being accepted by society, right? Like, I'm not engaging in those behaviors, so you shouldn't be allowed to engage in them either. It's like, girl, if you don't go over there and get your back blown out, like, if you don't go over there and just do whatever it is that you need to do, like, leave us alone. Like, you need to, like, the last thing that you should be doing as a queer person is trying to tear somebody else that's queer down. Like, why? Why?
But it's self-hate, because it's like that's what they were taught, that's what they saw, that's what they internalized. And like, again, when we say like those are the people that really need the most compassion, those are the people that really, like, you know, like, those are the people that really need the fucking hug, like, you know what I mean? But it's like, then they try to put it on us, and it's like, no, bitch, that, like I said at the beginning of this, that burden ain't mine to carry, so you could throw that off of me. I like that what you see and what you believe, ain't, keep it to yourself, okay? Keep it to yourself. Because listen, what is for me and how I live my life is for me. And I'm not, and again, and that's another thing that we have to learn to not let other people's reflection, not let other people's, like, what they thought is, like, to affect us. Like, no, we do that enough in our own head. I don't need nobody else's on me. And again, and that's a part of the liberation. That's the part of the freedom. That's the part of saying, like, you know what? Am I signing, like, I'm not even signing up. Am I, you know, do I have a bumpy road ahead of me? Bitch, I might. But guess what? I'm going to saddle up on this horse, and I'm going to get my lasso, and I'm going to ride it on in on my terms, on my conditions, and on the love that I have for myself. Like, that's going to be the foundation. And I, like, again, like, we have to teach our queer boys and girls to love themselves. Like, you know, again, it's like there's so much focus on sexuality, like, all of the sexuality, sex, like, that's for a moment. Like, I wish growing up I had somebody to say, like, love yourself, love who you truly are, love yourself. Like, I don't see that enough. I, which is why I'm in my 30s, really, like, having to tackle and to deal with all of these things, to be like, why have I never really had a real serious relationship? Like, you know, all of these things that, like, yeah, because, like, I was believing what a relationship should be based on heterosexual normities that don't comply to my life in any way, shape, or form. And then it forces me into a depression because it's like, I'm alone, I don't have anybody. But it's like, no, bitch, that's not the truth. How many people could have been in your life if you would have been open, if you would have that foundation of love, if you would have had that, like, you know, like, so, yeah, like, again, we have to break these normities. We have to break this whatever. And the only way that we can do it is by living in our truth, okay? And by truly saying F you to the people that ain't trying. Like, bitch, listen, it's a million other channels on the TV. Why are you tuning into mine? If it ain't for you, bitch, keep it scrolling. Like, I'm confused. Bitch, why? Listen, like, why are you worried about my jeans and my videos on my channel, on my cable channel? Go to another one. Go to ESPN. Go, like, you know, you listen.
Subscribe somewhere else.
Okay? Don't, listen, don't tell me how to run my channel, and bitch, you don't even subscribe to my channel. Bitch, I'm subscribed. Bitch, I'm the only viewer. And that's how we need to look at it. We are a cable channel, and we're the only viewer. Bitch, put the content on your cable channel that you fucking want to see. Woo! All right, yes. Bitch, let me go, okay?
I hear it. I'm hearing the word. in the scripture. Yeah.
I thought I was up here giving a casual tea. I didn't know I was up on this podium giving y'all Sunday morning.
It is Sunday, so okay. It is Sunday.
Well, this was an interesting topic. This was not what we had planned, but sometimes you got to let the spirit move. And yeah, this is, for me, all about creating a space that this spirit can move. And so I'm honored to have you on my casual tea. Baby boy, we'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm sure this is, So make sure you tweet us, get at us, let us know. But before we go, yes. Iman, let the people know what you up to, what's going on over there in that Big Brother Canada, what's going on in the drag race, what's the
Yes, we are still going strong with Big Brother Canada 9 over at RHAP, so you can catch me on the morning updates from time to time. I still have the Drag Race podcast as well with this never-ending season. About to go hop down and record another episode with Liana and Beth later on today, so that'll be coming out this week as well, so check that out, as well as my podcast with Matt Liguori about Glee, the Glee Rewatch podcast. We are still doing a bunch of character analysis, so check out all that stuff when you can. You can follow me at Iman Adwin on Twitter.
Yes, and Iman has been posting more photos of himself. So let's give they people the roses while they're here.
I'm trying.
Iman out. Like, baby, last time you posted a photo was 2017. What's going on?
I'm really trying to get into it again. You know what? Like this, I feel like, you know, I think that if anything, this pandemic has really just like helped me appreciate the privilege of just being able to take a photo of an experience. So this spring and summer, man, expect a popping Instagram from yours truly. Be on it.
Somebody grab that, okay? Because I need that sound audio, because when I don't see it happening, I need to send it to him. Well, this
I'm holding myself accountable. I will go out, I will do things, and I will take pictures.
Yes, and before we go, I just want to say thank you, Iman, for living in your truth and just living in your truth and being you. I think that you inspire me, so I just want to say thank you. And we will.
Thank you, Bryce. Likewise.
We'll talk soon. Yes, because it's the casual tea. This bitch.
It is time for advice given to you by Bryce. It's time for advice with Bryce.
All right, everyone, welcome back to this week's edition of Advice with Bryce. We're going to get right into this week's submission. Hi, Bryce. I need some advice. My husband decided a couple months ago that he is growing out a beard and his head hair. He wants his head hair to be shoulder length. What the hell? I've told him over and over and over again to not do it. I even tried to have a serious heart-to-heart asking him not to do this. I've tried to come to some sort of agreement asking him if there's anything I can do, like to sort of negotiate this. He won't budge. Do you think I'm being too critical? If it makes him happy, should I just leave it alone? I do not find him attractive at all with this new look, and the more his hair grows out, the less interested I am to be romantic with him. He doesn't seem to care about being romantic with me. I feel like your advice is going to point out the deeper issue with the relationship and suggest therapy. But if there is anything else you can think of, please let me know. Laura.
Thanks, Nasir, and hey, Laura, for such a personal and interesting advice with Bryce. After reading and listening to it, I really think that you are right about some things, especially towards the end, like, you know, maybe therapy would be great for you and your husband. So, I mean, obviously, I'm going to suggest that. But in listening to you talk about your husband, it really makes me think about, you know, this whole episode of the podcast, Living Your Truth. And I really think that in a relationship, and especially when you're married, that, you know, you guys join as one and you're one and you live your life out together as one. I think that sometimes people forget that you're still an individual. You yourself, Laura, are an individual, and your husband is an individual. And when you get married, you guys take vows for better or for worse, for sickness or for health. And I feel like your husband might be on his own journey, like figuring out himself, his hair to men, whether it's your beard, whether it's the head on the top of your hair, can be a sensitive subject. And so I think that you in this situation are looking at it from a wife's standpoint of like, my husband, what is he doing? He looking crazy. But I think that you should maybe probably take a step back and give your husband grace and permission to explore his hair. You know, he might be dealing with some things that you are unaware of, and this could signify something for him. And I think that a lot of your issues that you talk about in the Advice with Bryce are very respectfully self-centered and coming from a place of you and how you are feeling to this reaction, and not really being a good partner to your husband in the sense of, you know, yes, you know, a part of relationship is intimacy and sex, and another part is being their friend and supporting them. And so in this role, I think, Laura, you need to kind of sort of transform into a friend, because a marriage is a multitude of relationships. It's best friends, it's husband's wife, it's parents, it's different things. And so I think that you need to put on a hat of a supportive friend and really be there for him in during this process. I think that you trying to negotiate, you know, situations with him is really takes everything away from him and more about you. And so I think that it's really less about you and more about him. Now you asked me, do I think that are you being too critical? Yes and no. You know, appearance is everything. And, you know, we are attracted to our partners and we want them to look a certain way. But at the same time, we want them to feel in the inside how they look on the outside. And so I think in the essence of, are you being critical? Yes. And not really allowing grace and not really trying to get to the bottom of what's going on. And maybe he doesn't even know. Maybe this is a manifestation of something else going on in his life that he's unaware of. And you adding the pressure of, I don't like this, I don't like, you know, could only really, you know, make things worse for him. So I think that you could try to be more supportive. Try to, hey, if this is what he's doing, find some styles and looks of how he can wear it and support him in that way. I think that you will be able to unlock more of what's going on with him, because remember, this is about him, nothing about you. And yes, y'all might be married, yes, y'all can love each other, but he is still an individual just like you are. And so I think that you are making it a little bit too much about yourself, of how your reaction to what he's doing makes you feel, and not thinking about the reaction of what this is doing to him and the pressure that you're putting on him about this. So I think, again, taking yourself out of it and remember that this is your husband, your best friend, your partner, and being that supportive partner, allowing him to live in his truth. It may be upsetting to you going through this change for him, but again, you got to be there to support him just like he's to be there to support you. I think that you showing more interest, showing more support, and thinking, you know me, I come from a strength-based approach. Okay, you might not like it, it may not be for you, but help baby boy figure out what is for him. Go through some styles, like, oh, look at this person with a long beard, I like that, maybe you could do that, maybe you could switch it up. Like, come from a strength-based approach. Everything that you've detailed to me in the Advice with Bryce was from a negative standpoint, from of what you don't like and how can you change it, how, like, you know. And it's not really for you to change, it's his hair. And so you got to get on board. And so for me, it's like, well, what does that say about you? And maybe that's some more work that you can do on yourself as well, for being more open, showing more compassion, showing more empathy. And again, it's work for him to figure out why am I growing my hair out? Why? Like, you know, this quarantine, us being in this pandemic, has really shaped and changed a lot of us in different ways. And maybe during this time, he might have, hey, never in my life would I had this much time to be by myself and just in the house, and maybe I can try something I always wanted to try. And I think that we got to get on the side of being a cheerleader. We got to get on the side of wanting to support the baby boy. And I think that you will find in you supporting him can get you to a much better place in the relationship. You might not still like the hair, but again, it's his head, and you got to, for better or for worse, for sickness or for health, for long or short hair, for beard or no beard, okay? You got to get on board with that, that's your man. I got to support him in living in his truth. And I think that that could be a more positive way and a more successful way of getting to the root of what's going on. And it could highlight some more issues in your relationship that you guys need to work on. Relationships are evolving. You know, nobody stays the same. Everyone grows. Sometimes in relationships, he's not the person you might have married at that day. And today he's a different person. And you guess what? You got to put in the work to love and to figure out how you could be a part of this person's today's life. Just like how he has to figure out how he could be a part of your life today. We're evolving creatures. We grow. So you got to give them grace, baby girl. And you know, ain't nothing wrong with a little beer. Give them some little beer tips if you want. But I think that that was a great advice. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. And Purple Pants Posse, let me know. Your partner, your spouse, your husband, they go for a new look that you're not necessarily feeling. What are some of the things that you guys do? Like, here, come on, we're a community here. We go together. So I hope that you got something out of this week's Advice with Bryce. Thank you so much, Laura.
If you feel like you need advice with Bryce, please do not hesitate to reach out to the Purple Pants Podcast. You can contact Bryce at purplepantspodcast@gmail.com.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And just like that, we are on to this week's Freak of the Week.
Okay, in my Oprah voice.
Listen, I'm really excited for this week's Freak of the Week because, like all of my Freak of the Weeks, they just be coming to me. I just mind my business and they just find their way onto my phone, onto my Twitter, onto my Instagram. So, this week's Freak of the Week, before I even go into that, so there are a couple of survivors that are my friends. We didn't play on the same season, but I love them to death. And some of these people are like Joe Minna and Jeremy Collins. I love them so much because our relationship, if you were to take my phone and look at through our thread of texts, all we do is come at each other. Anytime Jeremy posts something to the Instagram story, I will screenshot it, send it to him and be like, you need to lotion your knee. Or anytime Joe Minna is playing basketball with his son, I'd be like, stop talking trash to my little brother because you can't play. Anyway, that's just my relationship with these guys and I love it. And this week's Freak of the Week, my relationship is the same way. It is none other than our baby boy, Davey Reichenbacher from David vs. Goliath. And listen, me and Davey, if all text messages ever got released, baby, all we do is crack up at each other and things around us. But listen, I'm just minding my business, Purple Pants Posse. Just minding my business on this good Saturday. You know, it was nice in Philly, so I'm assuming it was nice in Atlanta. And baby, Davey took to the Twitter. Listen, baby boy said, I'm vibing to Khalid this Saturday, okay? And if y'all don't know who Khalid is, y'all missing out because, baby, he got some jams, okay? So I ain't even mad at Davey. Davey. I ain't mad at Davey, okay? Feeling it this week. But, baby, you could tell Davey done got a fresh haircut. Okay, you could tell the stimulus didn't hit Davey account because he hit us with this photo shoot of selfies in the car, okay? And not only is, first of all, okay, the haircut looked great. Davey looks good. It looks like Davey lost a couple of pounds. Davey is killing it. But, baby, it's these photos for me. First of all, he posted these two car photos. But anybody that knows anything about taking a selfie, we know that his camera roll probably got about 400 of these shots. Because you know how it is when you take a selfie. You take about 1,000 for only one photo. But, baby, Davey is feeling himself. He got the little swirl in his fresh cut. But for me, it was the button-down shirt. Baby, Davey is sitting in his car. And if the shirt has 12 buttons, Davey has at least 9 of those buttons unbuttoned. You could practically see his navel, okay? Davey was feeling himself, so I said, you know what? Let's get this baby boy the Freak of the Week, okay? Because Davey is out here. He is a strong member of the Purple Pants Posse. And listen, he is feeling himself. And we know the stimulus check hit because he got a fresh haircut, a new shirt, okay? He was feeling himself. So listen, y'all know what y'all need to do. Go to that Twitter, I tweet Davey, and flood them comments and let him know. We see that stimmy check hit. You are definitely Freak of the Week. Listen, if Davey, his nipples and his belly button are the Freak of the Week this week, and yes, okay, because his shirt is, his blouse is practically unbuttoned.
If Davey is the freak of the week, that means we have come to an end of another great episode. Can't thank you guys enough for listening and supporting. I so appreciate it. But please make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Purple Pants Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. You know Uncle Pookie. You know he got the podcast in the back of his truck. So make it on down to 54th Street and get it from my Uncle Pookie. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you give your baby boy some 5 stars, okay? Write a review and tell a friend to 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 live in your truth, cause it's a
it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. The Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.